Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to noon.
John Kuhn and Touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback. John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Hour 2 of 9 to noon. That's John Kuhn. Brandon Snide along for the ride. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Get back to your thoughts on the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line at 414-677-1250. We do want to hear from Nooners on the eve of Packers and Bears wild card game from Soldier Field. But joining us now on the guest line, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all, to talk about that game is the one, the only, the voice of your Green Bay Packers on the Packers Radio Network, Wayne Larrivee. Wayne, how are you this morning, my man?
Good, Rami. How you doing?
That's a good question, Wayne. And it was what I was gonna. I'm nervous. Like I'm feeling every emotion a human can feel on the eve of this game. I said last segment I might go to bed early tonight just so tomorrow and that game can come sooner because it can't come soon enough. Do you still get whatever you want to call it? Jitters, nervous, excitement ahead of games like this, Wayne? Because you've called every game of every magnitude in your illustrious career as a play-by-play man.
Well, I think you get excited for these kinds of games, postseason games, and especially this rivalry. It's only the second time in my, 40 years around the rivalry that these teams have met in the postseason. Only the second time, third time overall. So this is special. It's Bears-Packers. It's the most played rivalry in the National Football League history. So, yeah, I get a little excited about this. Yeah, definitely.
You know, Wayne, in this matchup, it's a 7-2. 7 seeds are 1-9 in their games, the Packers being the one team to actually win as a 7 seed. But I look at the Packers and the Bears and the two games they played, and I can't help but after watching it over and over and over again, thinking the Packers had the Bears in both games on the ropes, and they let them back into it. Is it crazy of me to think that the Packers are simply the better team here, and if they don't mess it up, they should come away with a victory on Saturday?
Well, you could argue that of the eight quarters played, and not including overtime, but of the eight quarters played, the Packers probably had the upper hand in six of them. The Bears really dominated. The Bears found themselves in the second half at Lambeau Field, and they moved the ball up and down the field against the Packers. And then just two weeks later, they faced a much different defense. Jeff Hafley had to do a lot of different things. He didn't have Micah Parsons. He didn't have Williams in the secondary, Evan Williams. He didn't have some of the key pieces that he needs against this Bears offense. So I think that was – I kind of threw that game out. But, you could make the case that in Chicago – the Packers outcoached the Bears, they outplayed the Bears, they out-schemed the Bears, and then they let the game slip away. Now, what you have to ask yourself, if you're being honest, did these games slip away because, quite frankly, the Packers overachieved and they're not good enough to close the door? Or was it just happenstance that allowed these games to be as close as they were down the stretch?
Talking with Wayne Larrivee, the voice of your Green Bay Packers here on 9 to noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf. Wayne, you know this rivalry. You know these two franchises very well. You were the longtime voice of the Bears before becoming the longtime voice of the Green Bay Packers. Which organization, and I guess these are two different questions, which organization and which fan base do you think needs a win more in this game tomorrow at Soldier Field?
That's a loaded question. I think both fan bases need a win in this game for different reasons. The Bears, because they haven't won a playoff game since they, beat Seattle in Chicago on the road to the Super Bowl in 2010. The Packers have won games, but they haven't been able to get back to the mountaintop, to the Super Bowl. And this was supposed to be one of those years where the Packers had the depth and the talent level to get them there. So 6-1, half dozen to the other. Knowing these two fan bases the way I know them, their passion, their knowledge of the game and everything else, I would not want to pick between one or the other in that regard.
Wayne, something kind of going under the radar this week is the fact that the Bears were just held in their last game to their worst offensive output of the year. Tied for the worst points, the lowest amount of offensive yards. What was it that the Lions did in your eyes that really shut them down?
Yeah, that was an interesting ball game to watch. I thought the Lions did exactly what the Packers did in Chicago in game two of the three-game series we have here now. The Lions controlled the football, John. They, from the start, you could tell Jared Goff was on his game. The Lions controlled the tempo of that game against this Bears team. And then they just kind of let it they closed the deal. Whereas the Packers were unable to do so in Chicago on December 20th, the Lions 2 weeks later got the deal done. They just won the game. The Bears were loaded, and they were coming hard in the fourth quarter. But I thought the Lions just kind of stood up to them, and maybe they wanted it a little bit more because they knew where they were going. They were done after that game, and the Bears had a bigger fish to fry down the road.
With that being said, Wayne, would you say the best source of defense for the Packers this weekend would be their offense and possessing the football?
Yes, and that was their – really, that was, if you look at it subjectively, that was how they hung in that game and should have won that game in Chicago. Their offense controlled the line of scrimmage for the better part of four quarters in that game. And I think that's what they have to do again. I think the defense will be better this time around for the Packers. I think they're a little more into now what they have to do without Micah Parsons. Remember, that was the first game they played without Parsons in Chicago on December 20th. And I think now they probably have a better feel and understanding. Certainly the defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, has a better feel and understanding for how this defense goes about its business and can play effectively in this game. But I think large measure, control the football, finish in the red zone, and by the way, don't turn it over.
Talking with Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers here on 9 to noon. We saw the last time these two teams played, and when looking at that Bears defense last week, the only reason they were able to stay in that game with the Lions was because they were able to sort of bow up a little bit and stop them when they got in the red zone, which is something we saw the last time these two teams met in the Packers and the Bears. Could this game quite simply come down to how effective Jordan Love and that offense can be once they get down in the red zone?
I think, Rami, that's, you know, outside of the obvious turnovers and that type of thing, I think it's really imperative. The team that finishes in the red zone in this game will be the team that wins. And, you know, the Packers have struggled, but Josh Jacobs is back. He says he's feeling as good as he has in 6 weeks. That would be great news for the Packers because he was the red zone offense. Make no mistake about that. 13 touchdowns this year, most of them came to the red zone. So I think he's a big key down there. And if the Packers are going to finish in the red zone, if they finish effectively, they'll win this game going away.
Another player back this week, Wayne, Zach Tom. Just talk about how much he means to this offensive line and what we've seen the last 4 weeks of the season might not be the case when Zach Tom takes the field.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they had Jordan Morgan out there at right tackle. They had Kincaid playing a lot over the last month or so of the season, and that's just not you know, they've struggled with Zach Tom. The offensive line has not had a great year. Pro Football Focus gave them the 19th overall grade as an offensive line. They struggled in pass protection, and the reason they didn't give up more sacks is because Jordan Love is so good at manipulating the pocket and basically feeling pressure. And a lot of quarterbacks don't do that. They don't feel the pressure. I don't think Caleb feels it the way he's going to when he gets more experience. But Jordan Love is a manipulator of the pocket, and he was able to avoid what would have been a lot of sacks. Now, I think getting Zach Tom back helps a lot. You know, the Belton kid seems to be getting better at the right guard spot. I think Sean Ryan is fine outside of the occasional miss snap at center. And then you go to the left side of the line, and, you know, I think Rasheed Walker's solid. And you know, you look at what's going on there. Banks has got to be better than he's played this year in this game, and I think he will be. So I think the Packers will be solid on the offensive line, and they have to be, because I think the Bears will dream up some interesting stunts and twists and that loops and that type of thing, especially trying to get through the middle of that Packers offensive line.
On the other side, looking at the trenches from the other side, Wayne, and the Packers' defensive front versus the Bears' offensive front, and specifically the pass rush for this Packers team. Rashawn Gary doesn't have a sack since week 9, Wayne. Do you think there's a flip that can be switched there for Rashawn Gary in the pass rush of this Packers game, or should Packers fans just hope they can find a way to win this football game without generating pressure on Caleb Williams?
Well, I think they'll have to generate pressure, and I think Hapley knows that. And he'll have a couple of blitzes, maybe a couple of different wrinkles than we've seen so far. And, you know, it probably has to. He's going to have to manufacture pressure. But Caleb Williams, understand, is very good against pressure. Rashawn Gary had him dead to rights at least twice in the Bears game in Chicago and just couldn't quite get there because Williams is very good at avoiding the pass rush. I think two things on the pass rush, and this is why it may not be quite the all-out rush that you're used to seeing from a defensive line. The Packers have to play cage defense back there. They have to cage Caleb Williams in the pocket. And the number one thing you can't let him do is roll to his right. Now, he made a great pass in Chicago, rolling to his left to get the Bears into the red zone late in the game. But most of the time, he's most effective rolling to his right outside of the pocket. He throws the ball much better on the run than he does standing in the pocket. And so I think that's where the Packers have to contain this quarterback.
Wayne, the easy answer in this thing is if Jordan Love plays well, the Packers will have a chance to win. But give me somebody else. Just pick somebody anywhere else on the Packers team that needs to have a big game in order for the Packers to come away with the victory.
Well, I think the Packers are a team that relies a little bit on explosives. And I would say Christian Watson, but I really think in this game, if Josh Jacobs is healthy and stays healthy, he's going to be the bedrock they've run behind. He's got to be the bedrock player in this game for the Green Bay Packers. Control the line of scrimmage, that kind of thing. Because if I'm the Bears, and as Rami mentioned, you know, look at it from their perspective. Where are they coming from? I think they have to rely on that rebuilt interior, that offensive line, that, by the way, I don't think played that well in the two games against the Packers, because I've seen them as a dominant unit at times, and I think the Bears are going to run right at the Green Bay defensive front. Until the Packers stop that, the runs between the tackles, the little zone runs with the cutback from right to left, that kind of thing, I think this game, that's where the Bears feel like they've got an advantage that they didn't fully exploit in the first two games of this series. The longest run in two games by the most explosive rushing attack in football was 13 yards. 9 yards in Green Bay, 13 yards in Chicago. And I know the Bears feel they've got a lot more to give in that ground game.
What about Rashawn Gary, Wayno? What about Rashawn? Is this a breakthrough game for him? Is he finally able to break the streak?
I would love to see it be a breakthrough game for him. And you know what, John? He has been in the mix. He has been close the last few weeks. He knows what he has to do, and I think it's not for sheer effort. I think that guy gives you 1,000% on every snap. It's just that sometimes maybe he doesn't recognize it quick enough. Maybe he just doesn't have, you know, the instinct to go where he knows the ball is going to end up right away. So I don't know, but I think that, you know, Rashawn Gary somehow plays a role in this game if the Packers are successful on the defensive side of the field.
Do you worry about rust with Jordan Love, Wayne, in this game, having he's not played football in about 3.5 weeks?
Yeah, I would if he didn't have the kind of, if this was 2 years ago, I'd be worried about that. Even if this was last year, I might be a little more worried about that. But here's the other thing. Going into the Minnesota game, he took most of the snaps with the starters in practice. So he could have played in that game. There's no question about that. They kept him out of the game, which was great. Give him another week. But he's been working it the last 2 weeks. I know it's practice. I understand that. But I think he'll be in a good rhythm because he's had those reps in practice. A game is different. Playoff game is different. But nonetheless, I think he has the experience under his belt to be able to perform well, even though he hasn't played in the last 2.5 weeks.
How do you see this playoff field in your eyes, Waino? Are there teams that you think are favorites in your mind, or is this wide open?
Boy, I think it's wide open, but I got to tell you something. Seattle's going to be hard to beat. Watching their defense down the stretch and the way they play football, they really don't need the offense to contribute a whole lot. That defense is in command, and they're the number one seed. Everything is going to go through Seattle, and that'll be very interesting to see play out. On the other hand, this weekend, I like the Rams in Carolina. I know they lost there earlier this year. Not going to happen again. You know, some of the other playoff, I don't know, Buffalo on the road at Jacksonville. I kind of like Josh Allen willing his team to win, even though I think that, you know, the Jaguars are playing terrific football right now. I kind of like New England in that first playoff game that they're going to play. I think Houston's got a chance with their defense to roll in the postseason. But I think the field, John, is we've been saying this, there are no great teams. There really aren't. The closest to a great team I see is Seattle because I think their defense is the most sound of them all.
It's interesting. You didn't say the defending champs that just find their way back into the playoffs again. We'll have a home game this weekend sitting there as a 3 seed. You don't think the Eagles have what it take to make it back this year?
I think the Eagles can beat San Francisco. I pretty much penciled them into the next round, but I don't see them sustaining it all the way. I just don't trust the offense. I trust the defense. The defense is plenty good enough to go all the way. But that offense has a way of disappearing for long periods of time, and I can't figure it out. They've got this offensive line that hasn't been as good as advertised. I understand that, but they're still plenty good enough. And by the way, when we take that offensive line in Green Bay, in a New York minute, we would. But they're not the dominant line they were a year ago. That being said, you still have Saquon Barkley. You still have Jalen Hurts, who's very efficient, doesn't throw the ball away. You still have Brown and Smith at wide receiver, Mike Gesicki at tight end. I don't know how that offense disappears the way it does, but it does. The one caveat about this weekend's game between the Niners and Eagles, which to me is the most intriguing game on the calendar right now, that is very intriguing. If it comes down to X's and O's, if it comes down to coaching, Philadelphia is one and done.
Wayne, you got a prediction for Packers and Bears tomorrow night from Soldier Field?
I have a sneaking suspicion somehow, some way. You know, teams that have played 3 times in December and January. It's happened three other times. This will be the 4th time. In those 3 other matchups, the margin of victory has been 14-plus points. It's a matter of this is where coaching staff comes into play. Who found out what about the other in the first 2 games? And I think whoever did is going to have a big advantage in this one. I have a sneaking suspicion the Packers are going to go down there.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Get it done. And I think they realize they had the game won in Chicago last time down there. And I expect them this time to go down there and get the win and finish the game.
Wayne, what was your thoughts this week out of the locker room in Green Bay? You got Keyshawn Nixon saying, yeah, he wants the Bears. He wants an opportunity of revenge. Same with Christian Watson. He wanted nobody but the Bears. And then Jeff Hafley saying simply, hey, we're going to win. We're going to come back. I'm going to be here again next week.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing will be the Bears get their 2 top receivers. DJ Moore has been there these 2 games, but they've been missing Luther Burden. They've been obviously missing Roman Dunze for quite some time. I don't know how healthy he's going to be in this game, but those guys are electric on the outside. We did not get the full view of the Bears passing game in these two games. So I'm anticipating that's going to be a challenge. Keyshawn certainly has got to be up for it. And Trayvon Diggs, somehow, some way, he's going to get an opportunity to make an imprint on this game. And whether he's good enough to turn back the clock to before he blew out his ACL in 2023, until he, you know, if he can turn back the clock and make a play or two in this game, that'll help a lot.
That is Wayne Larrivee, the voice of your Green Bay Packers. Hear him on the call for the wild card matchup between the Packers and the Bears tomorrow from Soldier Field, along with John Kuhn on the sidelines over on the Packers Radio Network. Follow him on Twitter at Wayne Larrivee, and our guest for the last few minutes on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Always appreciate the time and the insight, Wayne. Safe travels to Chicago, my man.
All right, take care, guys.